cards, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Two clicks went really quick there. Somebody called me not too long ago, and they said, you know, you sure do laugh a lot whenever you come on the air. It's like, it's better than crying. So we hope that you are having a great day, and this will be the official Kiss October goodbye broadcast, you know, and so we'll be down to just 2 months of 2021 left when we get back here on Monday. By the way, we would love to have you come and be a part of what's going on at Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merit Island, Florida. We are right in the heart of what was known as the Merit Park Place area. It's a kind of a historic area that's not quite so historic, but it's two blocks north of 522, blocks south of Merit Avenue. It is two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, and it is two blocks to the east of Tropical Trail. And so basically, if you know where the Home Depot is, that's about where we are on the north-south venture. We're just two blocks west of there. There used to be a Pizza Hut there. That's been sold. So I've got to come up with a different landmark. That gives you the general idea of where we are. And the great thing is your phone knows exactly how to find us. Just type in 165 North Grove Street, and it will lead you right to us. By the way, I want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. They have been serving Brevard County, based out of Rockledge, Florida, for over 40 years, providing professional sales, services, repairs for air conditioning, heating, and the electrical fields. They work in residential settings and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down, 321-632-9538. So when you find yourself in need of their services, you can call them. That number again is 321-632-9538. And so I will be back in the pulpit this Sunday. We've had an evangelist that was with us October the 17th and October the 24th, but I will be back in the pulpit this week, and I will be preaching on God making us able to stand. We've had a great, great time as we're working through this valuable, valuable truth, and we want you to stand. And one of the messages that I shared is that my Redeemer stands. One of the reasons that we can stand is because the Savior who redeemed us, he stands. He is the example for us to stand, but he is also the source why we can stand. And out of Micah chapter 5, I had shared that he stands to feed his flock in his strength and in his majesty. And if you find yourself, like all of us do, in need of spiritual nutrition, I encourage you, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Don't run to any other source. You will not find the enduring strength, and you will find unmatched majesty at in the throne room of Jesus Christ. He is the epitome of strength, and he is the object of all majesty. And so I encourage you to run to him, and he will feed you. You can taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good. So on yesterday's program, we were sharing about that God, that our Heavenly Father, that he is the God of truth. Today I want to take you to John chapter 14. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. John chapter 14, verse number 1. This is a passage that I read often when I am preaching a celebration of life service. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Not only is the Father, our Heavenly Father, not only is he the God of truth, but Jesus says he is the truth. That Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the truth. Remember, we're talking about seeking truth. So if you are going to seek truth, you have to define what the standard is. You're going to have to set yourself into a position where you're either going to accept what God's standard is according to his word, or you're going to have to set your own standard, and then you become the arbiter of truth instead of God being the arbiter of truth. That's why I tell people, you don't take my word for it unless it lines up with the word of God. And so I try very desperately to make sure that everything that I share is accurate from the word of God. I don't get it 100% right, because one of the messages that I preached recently, I couldn't remember who Jesse's father was. And right off the top of my head, it was kind of an impromptu thing. By the way, it was Obed. And so it Obed, Jesse, David, who was the Jesus occupies the throne of David. So sometimes, you know, the mental synapses don't fire exactly when I want them to fire. But everything that I share, I want to share from a biblical perspective. I know a person who, if you told them this is absolute truth, their predisposition would be to try and find something that would disprove that absolute truth. So I want you to know that the reason that we can put our faith and trust in the Word of God is because the God of the Word is the God of truth. And so Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I knew this person. He's passed away now. And he was just really, really resistant to this particular passage of Scripture. And he said, how can you build a doctrine just on one passage? Well, it's not. There's no one comes to the Father. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's a whole lot of scriptures. In fact, if you looked at Matthew chapter 22, so that's a little bit back to the left. I have, let's see, verse number 15. It says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Now, that's not him saying you don't care about people. It's saying you are not intimidated by people. Now, remember, they are setting him up. They are setting a trap for him, trying to catch him in sharing something where they could bring accusation against him. They couldn't even find witnesses to agree on what they were saying about Jesus at his own trial. They brought forth witnesses. They, you know, told them what to say and all that sort of stuff, and they couldn't even agree on that. But here's the one thing that you can understand in the Word of God, that when Jesus did his ministry, the people who received his ministry, witnessed his ministry, witnessed his crucifixion, they would say things like this: truly, this was the Son of God. No one has ever done anything like this. This must be the Messiah. There were all sorts of testimonies like that. And so he starts off, and these people that are trying to entangle Jesus, they said, "You are true, and you teach the way of God in truth." Do you know that when Jesus taught, people hung on his every word? They sat on the edge of their seats. They were listening, captivated. They could be listening for hours, and it seemed like he had just been talking for minutes. And they would say things like this: "No one ever taught like this man taught. No one taught." It says that he did not teach like the religious leadership of the day, because he taught as one having authority. He wasn't teaching theory. He was teaching from an authoritative perspective, because he is the Word, he's the foundation of the Word, and he knows the Word, and therefore he can teach the Word. And so please understand that when Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, he means it. There isn't a multitude of ways. There is the way. Now, there's our ways and there's God's ways, but there's only one way to eternal life. By the way, that's a chorus that I happen to really like. One Way Jesus, that one is a bit on the older side, but it's a great song to sing. And I love that it is, you know, based in this. He is the truth. Now, you start talking with unbelievers and you are going to find them very resistant to the concept of absolute eternal truth. They will fight against it. They will try and amass a great number of arguments against that. I just want to encourage you, don't argue. Don't argue. Here's what I have found is the truth is true whether a person believes it or doesn't believe it. That doesn't mean that I'm just going to make the statement. I'm not going to try and substantiate it. But when that encounter turns into a hostile interaction, it's time to set that aside and allow the seeds of truth that have been planted in that person's life, allow those seeds an opportunity to penetrate a rock-hard heart, so that heart can be transformed by Jesus Christ the Son, and he is the truth and the life. So back to Matthew chapter 22, verse number 16, we know that you are true. I will tell you that truth needs to impact our character, our lifestyle. It needs to impact everything about us before it impacts what we say. So they would say, "We know that you are true and that you teach the way of God in truth." You can also find that in Mark chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. I believe that's the reference. Let me flip over there real quick just to confirm that. And here's the thing. The truth is not impacted, it's not intimidated by how wealthy a person is, how powerful a person is, how popular they are, how rich they are. Yes, it is Mark chapter 12 and 13. It says, "You do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth." And so once that truth becomes a part of who you are, then you don't have to worry about what comes out of your mouth, because you're speaking from personal experience. You are speaking from your personal lifestyle. So you are sharing the truth. We live in a society that believes in compartmentalization. And so you can get people that say, okay, well, I've got my Sunday morning compartment. And on Sunday morning, I am all in on being a Christian. And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to gather with other believers. I know, you know, the Christianese. I know things to say and all that sort of stuff. And so Sunday morning, for an hour and a half, that compartment, I'm all in on being a Christian. But I've got other compartments. And so when I'm hanging out with my coworkers and when I'm hanging out with my friends, and they don't share that same Sunday morning compartment, then I can have a different truth about who I am in that reality. And even though it's diametrically opposed to what I am on Sunday morning, I'm not lying because I'm just in a different compartment. I'm living a different reality. I want you to know those arguments are not made up. Those are genuine mindsets that people have in 2021. Let me tell you the truth about compartmentalization. It's a lie. It is a deception. And you can tell it to yourself, and you can even believe yourself. One of the most dangerous people that you can lie to is lying to yourself. So here a couple of weeks ago, I think about 3 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago, my wife and I, we had eaten kind of early and we got hungry again before it was time to go to bed. And it wasn't 8 o'clock. It was still before that. And so we decided that we were going to make a run to a restaurant. And it's not that I'd grilled steaks. They were really good. We don't eat steak very often. But we did that night, and I did good. But I got hungry again, and I said, well, I could have a bowl of cereal. And she said, well, that's not going to do me any good. And so we went to this restaurant, and she said, I want this. And so we got something to split. And I said, you know, I'd like a chocolate milkshake. And that doesn't fit with my goal and my ambition. I'm telling you this as a personal confession, okay? And so I said, a lot of times these restaurants give you these little bitty things. And so they said, well, what size milkshake do you want? And I said, I'll make it a large. And I'm thinking that a large might be a 16 ounce. Nope, it wasn't. It was over 32 ounces of pure milkshake deliciousness. And I got home and I had eaten part of my dinner, and I said, oh, you know, that there's just a little bit left. I might as well just go ahead and eat that. And then I said, well, I'm just gonna drink the milkshake. And I wasn't sharing. My wife doesn't like it. And I lied to myself and I thought, it's not that much. 32 ounces. Tall cup. And I tell you what happened. When I finished it, I was like, this is why gluttony is a problem. It's not that I had seconds. It's not even that, what I had. It was that I did not do it in moderation. And I found myself in extreme pain because I had lied to myself, thinking, oh, well, I can drink this and it's not going to impact me much. It made me ill. And I was going around the house and I was saying things like this. God, I now understand gluttony is not about the portion sizes. It is about what is doing you harm physically. And I said, I repent. I repent. And so 2 days later, I was at a minister's meeting. I had there was a luncheon afterwards. And so I behaved myself very well. And they had cooked some delicious food, and they said, well, here, take some, take a plate with you, take dessert. And I said, no, I can't do that. And when they offered me dessert, I said, no, I can't do it. Not that dessert was bad, but that I still hadn't recovered from the abuse that I had subjected my body to just a couple of days earlier than that. Don't lie to yourself the way that I lied to myself about the milkshake. Okay? Wasn't that I had a milkshake? It was just too much. And so I want to say again, it is dangerous to lie to yourself. So don't set yourself up as the standard. Recognize that Jesus is the standard. He is the vertical, perpendicular wall. He has absolute truth. Don't be looking for anecdotal problems here or anecdotal arguments over on someplace else. Say, Jesus, I recognize that you are truth. Let me take you back to John just a little bit and show you some things that are said in chapter 14 that you and I can recognize because of the fact that he is the epitome of truth. He's truth personified. He said, because of that, your hearts don't have to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God. We talked about truth and belief a little bit. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he says that here is the truth. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, Jesus said, I'm not going to withhold any truth from you, and I'm not going to tell you anything that's not true. Let me say that again. He's not going to withhold any truth from us, and he's not going to tell us something that is not true. He says, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. So for me, the concept that there is no heaven or hell is totally ludicrous. It doesn't make any scriptural sense. There are people who know the word that still will try and say that. There have been preachers who've been deceived into believing that that heaven and hell are just man-made concepts. That is just not true. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. The reason that hell is so miserable is because it was a place that wasn't prepared for you. Hell was a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never prepared for you. That's why hell is such a miserable place for all of eternity, because it wasn't prepared for you. And the place that was prepared for you, sin causes us to forfeit that place. Jesus came and paid the price. He prepared a place. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So this is what the way, the truth, and the life says. He says, I'm going to prepare a place, and then I'm coming to get you because we're going to spend forever together. So I'm not looking for scientific evidence to support the fact that when I've breathed my last here in this earth, that I'm going to experience a whole new supernatural reality where corruptible puts on incorruptible and mortal puts on immortal, and then I get to be with the Lord forever. I've got all of the proof I need because Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life, has told me that that is what the reality is. So he says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And all of a sudden, Thomas says, you know, I'm a little clueless on this. And that's when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So please understand, Jesus is not just the truth because of what he teaches. He is the truth because that's who he is. And because that's who he is, everything he communicates is true because he is speaking out of his own resources. So what about the devil? Well, it says that he is a liar and that he is the father of lies. So when the serpent shows up in the Garden of Eden and starts talking to Eve, he begins to question God's credibility. He begins to question what God has said. He begins to question God's motives and tries to convince and does convince Eve that God's holding out. He attacks God's character. And I want you to know, he's a liar. Jesus is truth. The devil is a liar. And there are people who will believe anything the devil says, and they will kick and scream and fight and claw against anything that the Word of God says. Do you know that the Word of God is held up to an entirely different standard than any other document in human history, even though it is the most verified document in human history? There is more substantiation to the Word of God. One of the things that I heard years and years and years ago was that there is more proof about Jesus being the Son of God than there is documentation that Julius Caesar ever lived. Okay? And yet we're still, you know, looking for some sort of archaeological find or artifact to substantiate. And I want you to know that's backwards. That's backwards. I'm greatly appreciative. I'm not threatened by archaeology because I know Jesus is the truth. We'll talk a little bit more about Jesus being the truth on Monday's program. But I can also tell you this. He's worthy of your time. He is worthy of your best. He's worthy of you worshiping him with your life, with your finances. He's worthy of your very best. We'd love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30, 165 North Grove Street. If not, we'll see you back here Monday, right here on WMIE and the Refresh radio program. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."